Ladies and gentlemen, you know that radio programs or television programs that have studio audiences often stage a little friendly competition to see who came to the studio from the farthest away. People raise their hands, and Walla Walla, Washington, well, nice. Maracaibo, Chile. Is Maracaibo in Chile? I don't know. Anyway, somebody came from there. Tierra del Fuego. That probably would win. I bring this up because I don't think they usually stage such competitions for the hosts of a program being farthest away from the origination point when the program airs. But I think I win today. I'm so far away. I'm so many time zones away from you, wherever you are, that the point is just, if something has happened in the last two or three days that deserves mockery or satire, once again, as you know, at this time of year, you're on your own with that. I can't be responsible for you know what the world has done in the last two or three days. But I do have a question as we begin that relates to the still brewing controversy over embryonic stem cell research and federal funding therefore. You know, the great compromise that George W. Bush announced about a week and a half ago, and in the debate that's continuing, as I say, ever since. And it's just an ethical question, I guess. It's an existential question. When you go to the let's say you have a farmer's market in your town, because I don't think this applies to supermarkets, but you go to a farmer's market, and somebody's there selling. Or a health food store. Good, thank you. Thank you for that, the lady in Tierra del Fuego. You go to a health food store, and they're selling fertile eggs. You've seen them. They charge more for them, and they're supposed to be better for you. Fertile, you know, eggs, like you buy in the store. But they're instead of the regular eggs, they're fertile eggs. My question simply is, apropos of this whole debate, are you buying an egg? Or are you buying a chicken? Your answer to that would just determine how you stand on the rest of the whole thing. When you buy fertile eggs, ladies and gentlemen, are you buying an egg? Or are you buying a chicken? Hello, welcome to the show.
tired little teddy bears.
Back to the house.
but it was a vacant lot. This matchbook you wrote on is all I've got. Am I falling, going down, dreaming and singing without a sound at the edge of the world, looking up at the edge of the world.
See, if it's a chicken, they should be charging even more. So, there you go right there. Hello, from the edge, not of the world, but from the edge of America, or wherever I am, from the home of the homeless, where I always am, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to the show for August 19th, although God knows when it's being recorded. Really, I have all this here, and none of it has a date on it. The stations around the country always ask me for an evergreen show, in case the satellite goes down. Remember that? Around the millennium, we were afraid that everything was going to Y2K us. And I reported to you at the time that there were evergreen versions of All Things Considered stowed away carefully in case you had a portable radio, but the electricity wasn't working. You could hear Susan Stamberg visiting a museum. They want an evergreen show. This is as close as you're ever going to get to an evergreen show station. So just record this right here. And yes, that was the theme from my film Teddy Bear's Picnic at the top of the show, except that doesn't appear in the picture because the owners of the song copyright wouldn't let it. So you can play it on the radio, but you can't put it in your movie, they said. So I did, and I didn't. How would you like to be Wen Ho Lee's lawyer right about now? Isn't that a nice lawsuit shaping up? The federal government keeps the guy in jail, in solitary, in manacles, for 9 months. And now we learn this week, misleading reports from the Energy Department led to the FBI's investigation into Wen Ho Lee. The report faults the FBI for buying into the Energy Department's conclusion that there was only one suspect in the case, Wen Ho Lee. This is a special review of the bungled espionage inquiry. Called a deeply flawed product whose shortcomings went unrecognized and unaddressed due to the FBI's own inadequate investigation. This is from the Justice Department, a prosecutor in a lifelong, a career prosecutor, as they like to say, in the Justice. Who flies in and just prosecutes one case at the Justice Department? They're all career prosecutors, aren't they? Yeah, I'll be starring in the next Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, and then I have a couple of cases at the Justice Department in the summertime that I'll be working. The Justice Department released two heavily censored chapters of the report this week. A judge ordered the release in an unrelated lawsuit, but man, you know Wen Ho Lee's lawyers are descending upon that report, and you probably know why they haven't released all of it yet, because I believe Wen Ho Lee is suing the government. To say that the Department of Energy misled the FBI and to say that the Department of Energy improperly focused its conclusion only on Wen Ho Lee is only to describe half the problem, said the report. The other half was the FBI's unfortunate and unwarranted acceptance of the Department of Energy's description of Chinese nuclear capabilities and the FBI's unhesitating and unquestioning acceptance of the Department of Energy's identification of Lee as the most logical suspect. That's our FBI. Unhesitating and unquestioning acceptance of the work of others. That's your FBI in action, ladies and gentlemen. Incidentally, the lawsuit in which this for which this report was released is a suit by Energy Department investigator Notra Trulock. And wouldn't you like to name your little boy Notra? Not Nutria, they're good eating. Notra. He's suing two other Energy Department investigators, because they said Wen Ho Lee was targeted for investigation because he was Chinese. Notra Trulock says that's a slur on him. Not sure I'd want to be his lawyer.
Ooh-wee. Oh, it knows it's hot in here today. My goodness, somebody turn the air conditioner down. Summertime and living is easy. are jumping, and the cotton is high. Oh, your daddy's rich. Say, girl, your mama's good looking. So hush, little lady, don't you cry. One of these mornings, you're gonna rise up singing, yeah. Then you spread your wings and you take to the sky. But till that morning, yes, sir, there's nothing that can harm you. Standing by. Living is easy, the fish are jumping and the cotton is high. Oh, my goodness gracious, somebody tell me why it's so hot, y'all, so hot, I really can't take it no more. And hear somebody turn that air condition down. Woo! Say, baby, summertime.
Yeah, it's a new version of the old chicken and eggs question, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, George W. Bush, President George W. Bush, said, I believe, around the time he announced his stem cell research decision, we don't believe in this country in creating life just for the purpose of destroying it. I believe that was his exact quote, at which point I thought, don't tell the cattle. Because might get them very upset. But on a related subject, how pro-life are we in this country? How dedicated to the children are we to the life of, you know, not just the embryos, but the things that the embryos become? What are they? People. Five fatal incidents in California this summer in which children were left inside automobiles with the windows closed. In what is this, hot weather we having now? Yeah, that's right. And they died. one of dozens around the country involving parents or adult guardians who deliberately or accidentally have left children inside sweltering cars while they shopped at malls, gambled at casinos, even went to work for the day. There's a national nonprofit group called Kids in Cars. Kids in Cars. It's cute, but it's serious. Kids in Cars. Reports that 54 young children have died this year after being left unattended inside vehicles. Most of them die from the heat. Three have died in just the past few days in Missouri. And here's that state again, Florida. Can we just get rid... Hey, you know what? I got a solution. Not for this, but just for the whole thing. Let's sell Florida to the Cubans. Really? What do you think? Last year, 60 children died in those circumstances around the country, according to Kids in Cars. The annual number of victims has been roughly the same for the last few years. The group is urging governments to begin keeping statistics on the incidents, because that's the kind of country we are. Some people can hardly believe this, says Jeanette Fennell, the director of Kids in Cars, but it happens all over, especially in the summer. Yeah, that would be when it would be hot enough to kill kids in cars. Parents who decide to leave their children in cars tend to be thinking too much about their own convenience. You hear them say things like, well, I thought my errands would only take a few minutes. 2 weeks ago in suburban Virginia, police arrested a 23-year-old nanny who had left two young children in a car parked outside a shopping center with her windows rolled up. She occasionally returned to the car between errands to wipe the sweaty faces of the children. In suburban Maryland last month, police arrested a couple who'd left nine-month-old twin girls locked inside a scorching car while they spent nearly an hour inside a courthouse. In that case, police officers forced open a window of the car to save the red-faced infants. In California, the cases are stacking up. Maybe we should sell California to the Cubans. I don't know. In San Jose, a father is facing charges of involuntary manslaughter for the death last month of his five-month-old son, whom he left in a locked car while he watched television at a relative's house for 3 hours. There isn't... You think there's 3 hours worth of television that would justify killing a cockroach, let alone your kid? 3 hours worth of television that's that good. Oh, my kid's in the car. I forgot because the TV's been so damn good. In the California desert town of Rialto recently, a three-year-old girl died after her foster mother left her inside a locked car for only 20 minutes. Last year, a hospital in Sacramento reported two dozen incidents of children who needed emergency medical attention because they had been left inside locked, sealed vehicles. Now, my question is, of the people who've done this, how many oppose federal funds for embryonic stem cell research? Because they're so pro-life. Me, I'm red-faced, not from being locked in a car in the summertime, but because I repeated on this broadcast last week a story that's only partly true, because it was subjected to internet embellishment. This is the story of the kangaroos, the simulated kangaroos in the virtual reality war game. They were, the story was that they were, why would I repeat an inaccurate story to bring you up to date? Anyway, it was, if you were listening, you heard it. There's a grain of truth in it, as a matter of fact. It was attributed to Australia's Defence Science and Technology Organisation. And the accurate version, apparently, is from Dr. Of course, I got this on the internet, too, so who knows? It's all bogus. Everything you hear is bogus. Face it. This is from Dr. Anne-Marie Grisogono, who heads the Synthetic Environments Research Facility at DSTO's, that's the Defense Organization's, Land Operations Division at Salisbury, South Australia. Now, that's enough attribution that this could possibly be true. Quote, I related this story as part of a talk on simulation for defense at the Australian Science Festival in Canberra. The armed reconnaissance helicopter mission simulators fly in a fairly high-fidelity environment, which is a 4,000-square-kilometer piece of real outback Australia built from elevation data overlaid with aerial photographs and with 2.5 million realistic 3D trees placed in the terrain in those areas where the photographs indicated real trees actually exist. There are 2.5 million trees in the outback? Excuse me. I thought it was kind of bleak over there. For, still quoting now, or quoting again, for a bit of extra fun, our programmers decided to put in a bit of animated wildlife. Since ModSAF is our simulation tool, these were modeled on ModSAF's Stinger detachment so that the associated detection model could be used to determine when a helicopter approached, and the behavior invoked by such contact was set to retreat. Replace the visual model of the Stinger detachment in your stealth viewer with a visual model of a kangaroo, and you have wildlife that moves away when it's approached. As I said in my talk, the first time this was tried in the lab, we discovered that we had forgotten to remove the weapons and the fire behavior. That was the story that was repeated here. She now clarifies, it is not true that this happened in front of a bunch of visiting Americans or any other flavor of visitors. We don't normally try things for the first time in front of an audience. So it did happen, but it didn't happen in front of Americans. And it happened in the lab, but it didn't scare Americans, okay? So I will be now much more careful in succumbing to irresistible little tidbits like that. But it's partly true. Isn't that Matt Drudge's defense?
Tá tudo certo. A vida é boa. Cantando com gosto. E sorrindo à toa. Aprendendo a viver, não dou bola pra problema, fugindo não ouço nem quero ver. Tá tudo certo, a vida é boa. Vivo cantando que eu gosto, vivo sorrindo à toa. Tudo pra mim é tranquilo, estou aprendendo a viver. Não dou bola pra problema, contigo não ouço nem quero ver. Quando eu sinto no ar que a coisa fica preta, começa a dar cambalhota. Faço uma bela careta, vou saindo de mansinho e me mando à la francesa. Quando procuram por mim, tá tudo certo. A vida é boa. Vivo cantando que eu gosto. Vivo sorrindo à toa. Tudo pra mim é tranquilo. Estou aprendendo a viver. Não dou bola pra problema. Contigo não ouço nem quero ver. Só me dá muita inspiração. Vou embarcar com cuidado. Vou evitar confusão. Quero viver sempre festa, seja noite ou seja dia. E agradecer ao Senhor, oh, pelo pão de cada dia, oh, pelo pão de cada dia. Amor de montão, todo mundo cantando a mesma canção e a nossa felicidade. Oh, não será mais ilusão, não, não, não será mais ilusão. Tá tudo certo, a vida é boa.
This is Le Show, and I'm Harry Shearer. And coming up, I wanted to...
Hello, Harry. I wonder if you've got a minute or two.
Yeah.
I've got something on my mind. Simulator.
Ralph, the talking computer. Welcome, Ralph. I was just launching into an amusing audio essay about whether Charles Osgood has gone soft since he's gone to TV.
And, sounds great.
Thanks.
But I've been pondering something that was in the news a week or two ago,
And
it just stuck in my virtual craw.
Huh. Bone in your virtual throat, huh?
You got it.
Well, it's not about the Wen-Ho Lee thing, is it? Because we...
No. You know me, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get into that political crap.
I do know you. Yeah.
This is serious.
All right. Before you get to it, Ralph, just by the way, Ralph the Talking Computer, our listeners have come to know you through the months and years, basically for reading Larry King's columns here on the show. You haven't done that recently. Is there... a reason? Are you off Larry King?
Harry.
Yeah.
I loved Larry King when he was doing the Stream of Consciousness columns.
Mm, yeah.
Their flow was so arbitrary, it was maybe the first truly digital form of writing.
Hmm, good point.
So why a guy who's such a master of the three-dot form decides to chuck it and get into something as banal as paragraphs? You tell me, department.
You tell me, department.
You don't have to reiterate what I'm saying.
But...
that's what's got me blowing my proverbial stack.
Okay, all right. Ralph, what is the issue here?
These guys at ATT Labs,
mm-hmm.
which who knows when that spun off from what.
Yeah, right.
But anyway,
mm-hmm.
they made the front pages last week for announcing it had a new voice simulation system that would blow everything else out of the hypothetical water.
Yeah, I saw that. So
what the hell am I? Chopped virtual liver.
No, you're not chopped virtual liver, Ralph. But what is this, an ego thing?
You know very well we don't have those yet.
Yes, I...
No, this is just a respect thing.
Mm.
Look, I've been reading Larry King's columns on your show for more than 2 years now, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Have you ever in all that time heard from a listener that if you're going to have those columns read on the air, you should have Larry King read them?
No.
Of course not.
No.
That's called believability.
Well, okay, but technology marches forward. You're as much a product of that as anybody else. Why would you want to stand athwart?
Hey, listen. They can invent whatever the hell they want at ATT Labs.
Okay, well.
That company will be sucking air down in Lucent territory long before they ever bring it to market. I'm just saying, you don't have to knock the shoulders you're standing on.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
Look at this quote. It's in the paper right here.
How do you do that?
It is a vast improvement, some say, from the entirely computer-generated and therefore robotic sounds that are used in many text-to-speech programs, unquote.
Yeah.
Like I'm robotic sounding? Is that what they're implying?
Well, I think... they're not implying, but it is true that you asked both those questions with exactly the same inflection.
No way,
so,
just to simulate
it. Let's not even get into this. What is the point? What are they going to use this new technology for that you can't...
They're saying that they can record the voices of celebrities, even dead celebrities, and then have them say things they never actually uttered.
Wow.
This guy from soon-to-be bankrupt lab says... quote, if ABC wanted to use Regis Philbin's voice for all of its automated customer service calls, it could. Unquote.
Wow. Who knew ABC had customer service?
You're missing the point.
Now, I know. It's about lost jobs to all the performers and the various show business performers unions who could be doing these commercials or these... acting gigs, and instead are going to be replaced by virtual recreations of dead celebrities.
Can you think about someone beside yourself for a second? It's lost jobs. Yes.
Okay.
Lost to the thousands of talking computers who could be doing that work, but instead will be replaced by this supposedly new and non-robotic software.
Mm.
And while we're at it, what's so damn great about the way people talk? Why should we spend all our time imitating you? Where's the reciprocity? How come none of you guys imitate us?
You didn't see any of Al Gore's campaign? No, Ralph, look,
How's that laughter? Robotic enough for you?
Yes, I'm sorry. Look, I'm sorry if you feel condescended to, Ralph. But your argument obviously is not with me. It's with the people at whatever this lab is.
No, it's just that you guys are always so sensitive.
Well...
But this is personism pure and simple.
Personism, okay.
You haven't even noticed, Kathy, sitting here on my hard drive right beside me.
I had no idea. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
What would...
I think I sound at least as good as some recreated Marilyn Monroe voice. Don't you?
Oh, no question.
Yeah, no, you sound great, Kathy. It's wonderful. Ralph, look, I'm a supporter of Talking Computers. That's why I've had you reading the column. If there's something you'd rather read or you want to move back in the direction of doing some songs where we started you out here on the show, whatever you feel like that will spotlight your talents, please, just, you know, I'm a phone call away.
Great. So now get me a modem.
We'll talk about that off the air. Ralph the Talking Computer and his friend Kathy, thanks so much for stopping by. And, really, don't fret about this. The market value of dead celebrities is virtually nil in this country. More coming up, and we'll ask that question. Has Charlie Osgood gone soft? Moments from now here on the show.
Sunlight blinking through the cypress knees, lay shadow steps in front of Jacob and me, as if we're guided by the heaven's eye, on the ladder road down to the levee town. Quick as lightning, news is frightening, Caleb, my neighbor, where you running to? A yelling thunder, the prophets have not blundered, the great locks are opening soon. The river is high and your sandbags are sinking low. Whoa, they're rocking the cradle, the someday the rock will buy and roll out. Red carpet on the edge of the line, and we'll snake the blue river and rejoice in style. Break out a bottle of fine gulping wine and raise cane down in the little town. I heard old Moses was hired to go by the Corps of Engineers to run this show. And out of the basin, two by two, and just ask Noah, he knows what to do. The river is high and the sandbags are sinking low. Whoa, they're rocking the cradle, and someday the rock will buy and roll out the red carpet on the edge of a lot. Snake the blue river and rejoice in style. Break out a bottle of fine gulping wine and raise cane down in the little town. Chunks under mossy drapes. So pull back the curtain, the devil be damned. Into the fog we will make our stand. But the word gets around, so don't be surprised at
who shows up down in the levee town. The river is high and the sandbags are sinking low. Hey, they're rocking the cradle, but someday a rock will buy and roll out the red carpet on the Ojama line, and we'll snake up the river and rejoice in style. Break out a bottle of fine gulping wine and raise King down. Roll out the red carpet on the Ojama line, and we'll snake up the river and rejoice in style. Break out a bottle of fine gulping wine and raise King down in the living town.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the time comes once again for me to read the trades for you. A listener has been so kind as to point me in the direction of Cleaner Times, the source for PW information since 1989. Don't ask me. I don't know. But I'll read it for you. Apparently it's a magazine about cleaning. Cleaner Times, you see. Because the article is, Cemetery Cleaning Presents New Opportunities. Yes. Of course I'll read it for you. Cemeteries are supposed to be peaceful places where our relatives or ancestors have been laid to rest. A tidy, well-kept cemetery helps add to this feeling. But what if the cemetery has an unkempt look to it, with tombstones that appear dirty or grimy? This isn't how we imagined we would honor our relatives. Why would any society let such areas become overrun and destroyed? Asks Pete Case, Vice President and General Manager of EnviroSpec, a Homerville, Georgia-based company which manufactures and distributes chemicals. In researching cemeteries, he continues, I've found that most of Europe's cemeteries are cared for very well. Why should our cemeteries be any different? Cemetery cleaning and restoration opens a wealth of opportunities to the pressure washing industry. There's your PW right there. Burial grounds want to entice prospective clients with a tidy, peaceful final resting place. This is where you, the contract cleaner, can contribute a valuable service. It may be somewhat of a challenge to persuade cemetery management that they should contract out cleaning services. But if you keep at it, it will be worth your while. Case suggests contacting the local mortician. Another approach would be to instigate an ongoing contract with a wealthy residential client to clean his large family mausoleum at the same time every year, may or maybe prior to the anniversary of the loved one's passing, so it will be ready for relatives' visits. Once you get permission to go into the cemetery, clean one stone as a demonstration of how your work will benefit the cemetery. One white stone sitting in the midst of hundreds of gray and black ones stands out like a sore thumb, Case explains. At that point, you should be able to land the job. Don't use acids or blasting to clean tombstones, says Ed Blyke. Blyke is president of K&E Chemical Company, a Cleveland, Ohio-based chemical company. When you use acids or blast with sand or other abrasives, you eat away the outer surface and dirty pores to expose the softer, tougher pores underneath. That was the same reason I was suggesting don't blast tombstones. Other tips, clean from the bottom to the top. This avoids streak staining on the stone. And finally, don't seal or waterproof a gravestone. Sealing, waterproofing, or coating the stone face with any sealing process will inhibit its natural ability to naturally evaporate the moisture from inside the stone. Naturally. Some good tips for the pressure washing industry from Cleaner Times. The opportunities that await. Sometimes the world just sounds like an open book when I read the trades for you. Copyrighted feature. Ladies and gentlemen, you sometimes feel as though you understand why Rupert Murdoch can't pay his actors and his writers. He really is so busy buying new company, adding new jewels to the diadem. He is deep into a contest for the purchase of DirecTV. Rupert Murdoch does not have a satellite TV presence in this country. I know. I feel as badly about it as you do. But he does control satellite television in many other countries, and he would love to have DirecTV here. And I know that, hey, it's pledge drive time. Why not? Anyway, but there's another bidder for that. So he might not get it, but there's like hundreds of millions or billions up on the line for that. And to free up some of that money, he has just sold the Family Channel. Which I bet you didn't even know. Maybe you knew he owned. It was called Fox Family. He sold it to the fine Disney people who are in the family business, and they will be renaming it to maybe the Disney Family Channel, maybe the Family Disney Channel. Who knows? But in the stories about the sale of the Family Channel to Disney, you couldn't help noticing that there's a certain irony that presents itself. The Family Channel, before Rupert Murdoch owned it, he bought it from Pat Robertson, Reverend Pat Robertson. Yes, the same one. He was a TV mogul for a while, too. And part of the deal that Disney inherited when they bought it from Rupert Murdoch was a deal Rupert had made with Pat Robertson, which is, yes, it's the Family Channel, but the 700 Club will be on it in perpetuity. This is the same 700 Club in which Reverend Pat Robertson slammed Disney World for holding gay days in Orlando and said that the Lord might send a hurricane. And a lot of people said, well, this is a difficult fit. Disney said, yeah, we do honor the deal. We're going to have to honor the deal with Pat Robertson. And as I say, it seems on first glance like a difficult fit.
Two great clubs are about to become one.
This is a blessing for God's people.
And fun for the whole family.
What happens when the Mickey Mouse Club joins with the 700 Club?
Welcome to the happiest place in the whole conservative movement, 700 Mouse Street.
All your favorites from the 700 Club, Reverend Pat Robertson and Ben the Black Guy, plus a group of the most attractive and high-energy young Americans since the Young Americans. They're all here at 700 Mouse Street. It's a fast-paced hour of daily television that will make you think about having fun.
Now, coming up, we've got a special animated report on the plight of Christians in China. But first, Goofy, you had something you wanted to show me.
Yep, Mr. Robertson.
Well, now, most people call me Reverend.
Well, most people aren't Goofy.
You'd be surprised.
Anywho, I've been doing my own research on stem cells.
Uh-oh, this doesn't sound good.
Well, I tried cloning myself, but I don't have enough DNA.
Well, this is where this kind of experiment takes. Goofy, wait a minute. Everybody's got the right amount of DNA, or they wouldn't be alive.
No wonder I was feeling so tired.
There's great music at 700 Mouse Street, too.
Adam and Eve. No, not Adam and Steve. Yeah, that's what's right for me.
Now, Mickey, what have you been up to this morning?
Oh, Donald and I have been answering the prayer lines.
Oh, no. This is Pat Robertson. What a recipe. The redemptive blood of Jesus Christ and just a little Disney fairy dust. We'll have guests. We'll get to know our 700 Mouse Street Cateers. We'll find out the exciting work the Lord is doing in these times. And we'll have a weekly visit with the amazing animatronic prophets.
700 Mouse Street, beginning Monday on the Family Channel. Time the whole family can waste.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking a lot these days about the Pentagon's standards for tests, because they just tested that missile shield missile. Well, here's their standard for, here's kind of a sense of their criteria for testing. A $6.2 million Defense Department experiment to let overseas service personnel vote by internet last year resulted in 84 ballots at a cost of nearly $74,000 per voter. The Pentagon said the experiment was a success. This is a demonstration project that was to prove the concept as opposed to looking at it on a cost-per-vote basis. Critics assailed the experiment's security, alleging it lacked basic safeguards against viruses, hackers, and fraud. The Pentagon spokesman said the test wasn't meant to guard against every possible security threat. So exactly what were the criteria for declaring it a success? Did it happen? Its existfulness. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a test. This has been the actual broadcast, and the show will return next week at this same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the Armed Forces Network, on shortwave at WBCQ, the planet at 7.415 megahertz, and on your computer whenever you want it at two convenient locations, either of which might work, www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com. And it would be just like having a Pentagon test deemed a failure if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty, thank you very much. Uh-huh. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Say it with me. No attachments, please. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.